Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Good morning. Welcome to episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. As we look towards the offseason, we have to get into the postseason college bowl games. These are extremely important as far as trying to see where the Raiders should look towards. With me today, this man has made quite the trip. He's made quite the journey. He is the pride of Cal State University, Northridge. Co-host of the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast, his family, our guy, Kenny Berry. Good morning, Berry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I just got here, settled in. I took the overnight, and we did the podcast. We finished around 11, went home, packed real quick, hopped on a flexi bus at like 12:30, got to Vegas at like almost before 6. Went straight to the Luxor. That's where, like, all the players are going to be at for the Shrine game this week. Got some neat. I'm just charging my phone and catching up with you. It's pretty good 24 hours so far.
Yes, sir. Now, what position are you looking most forward to seeing play in the East-West Shrine game tomorrow?
For sure, quarterback. I talked to at least the three I thought who are going to have like the most impact and like the have the most intriguing backstories. I talked to Sean Clifford, Penn State quarterback, just won the Rose Bowl. Talked to Louisville quarterback Malik Cunningham, who he might actually get a Senior Bowl designation depending on how things go. Malik Cunningham broke a bunch of records at Louisville. Broke a couple records that Lamar Jackson held. I think he has like over 70 career touchdowns. He broke Lamar's record, if I'm not mistaken. And I talked to him, talked to Lindsey Scott. Lindsey Scott went to LSU and transferred to like Eastern Mississippi Community College. Then went to Nicholls State for 2 years and transferred to University of Incarnate Word, who I don't even think they've been around like 15 years. And they already have like an insanely high winning percentage. They almost won they were one game away from the national championship, the FCS title game. Barely lost to North Dakota State. He puts up 60 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 70% completion percentage, like almost 800 yards rushing, 11 rushing touchdowns. So 71 touchdowns, your last year in college. And then he wins a Walter Payton, award, pretty much is like it's the Heisman Award for the FCS, or formerly known as Division II level. I talked to him about that, and he talked about, you know, all the pro concepts. Because, like, obviously with black quarterbacks, let's be honest, if you see an ounce of maybe something that might be deemed as hyper-athleticism, you know, you immediately forget that they know how to pass the football. You know, Cunningham threw a bunch of touchdowns in his career. Everybody looks at, oh, he's like a potential Lamar clone, or he might be the next Tyler Huntley. But it's like he had, on his own merit, he was a great player. And he talked about at Louisville, you know, he and Lamar both ran a pro-style offense. And, yeah, he used his legs to make plays, but he's, you know, familiar with up-tempo. You know, he knows how to, you know, get a two-minute drive going. He's done the things that would at least make you a baseline, pretty good starting quarterback. Like Brock Purdy, you know, he was in the game last year, and when you look at it, all the things that he was successful at are the things that, like, if you, let's say you don't have a star quarterback, you need them to do the basic things, hand the ball off, get the screen game going, be up tempo, catch the defense off rhythm, you know, make proper throws. Those guys have proven it all week. Sean Clifford, he killed the defense and practices, you know, yesterday, the last day of practices, really. He threw so many back shoulder fades. It was a receiver out of Buffalo. He mossed a couple guys in the back of the end zone, got his feet down. It was perfect. I was like, you know, as many back shoulder fades as you threw to Jahan Dotson, like, can you pretty much throw back shoulder fades with your eyes closed? And he was like, you know what? I probably could. I'm not going to try it. But it's definitely, you know, a throw in my repertoire that I'm good at. So, I mean, I didn't get to interview Adrian Martinez, but when I saw Lindsey Scott performed really good, Cunningham performed really good, and Sean Clifford, you know, two guys from the national team. No, one guy from the national team, two guys from the American team. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how those guys get going during the game. But I'll also look at the D-line because, like, you know, obviously, like, quarterback is going to lead the charge. Like, there's some pretty decent receivers here in Pasadena, but the quarterbacks kind of are what moves the needle, I think, this year. And also the D-line, it's not as good as last year, but what people have to remember last year about the NFL, PA Bowl, they had, like, 18 dudes drafted. A lot of those guys went in the second round. That might have been the best, like, crop of talent in the history of that bowl game. And they've been around 10, 11 years. Like, that, like, there were so many guys who got called up to Mobile for the Senior Bowl and dominated. James Houston dominated in Pasadena, dominated at the Shrine Bowl in Vegas, and then dominated at the Senior Bowl, and then gets drafted. And then I think he ends up having more sacks than TJ Hawkinson as a rookie. And he didn't fully start. So, for the defensive line position, Boise State defensive tackle, Scott Matlock, immediately stood out. He made himself a lot of money this week. He's strong at the point of attack. He has violent hands. Like, once he gets his hands on the defender, it's pretty much okay. Whatever his counter move is, he's going to beat you. Like, if he gets a good initial rush, he was playing defensive end and defensive tackle. He talked about how his senior year, he didn't really have that great of a year rushing the passer. He kind of had more responsibilities in terms of the run game and run fits. But in Pasadena, he's been cutting up. He's definitely been cutting up. And David Perales, the Fresno State defensive end, he seems like he's probably going to be more of a linebacker slash DN. I don't think he'll really be like a base 4-3 defensive end. If he is, he's somewhat a little undersized, but he has a motor.
Now, when you look at the Shrine Bowl, is it any one play that you're looking at particularly?
As far as defense or outside of Matlock?
Yeah, as far as defense.
Sacramento State linebacker, Marte Pooley, number 54. He actually is a Hawthorne native, like from the city of Hawthorne, went to Hawthorne High, and they've been terrible for years, but they finally got good. But, you know, Sacramento State, they lost to Incarnate Word, one of like the highest scoring games in FCS playoff history, just in history in general. And, you know, he was a FCS All-American. He's like around 6'3", 6'4". Definitely going to be a linebacker, but depending on how fast he runs and how good he tests and agilities and all that, he could be, you know, a nickel slash safety. Definitely, you know, he's going to be playing a lot of nickel in the league. That's definitely a guy to watch. You know, Sacramento State, I think their head coach ended up getting hired at Stanford, if I'm not mistaken. And you look at all the talent they had on that team, the fact that they pushed Incarnate Word the way they did, that's definitely a guy you should be watching for sure. Jackson State corner, Isaiah Bolden, is another guy. He's been real sticky in coverage.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to discuss players that you see as extremely great fits for what the Rays are trying to accomplish. But that's after break. You're listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Hyperice, the leader in advanced warm-up and recovery technology. They have tons of innovative products, like Venom-heated wearables to help soothe sore back muscles, Normatec compression boots to speed up recovery and increase circulation, and Hypervolt massage guns to improve mobility. Loved by athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland. Try them yourself. Get 10% off your order with the code MOVE at hyperice.com.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Kenny Berry from Tennis and Touchdowns, pride of Cal State Northridge, works in the game, works in the sport. Kenny, when you look at everyone you have seen so far, outside of the first round picks or the high first round picks, what three players would you, if you are Ziggler, what players would you draft?
You have to look at the two top tackles in the draft. Peter Skarzanski out of Northwestern. They've never fixed that right tackle spot, and honestly, Cole Miller hasn't been that great. So I think, you know, Paris Johnson Jr., those are two guys you could think, those are two guys I would heavily consider. I mean, unless they somehow end up with Taylor Lewan in free agency, which I doubt because he's going to command a huge number, but that tackle spot needs to be addressed. Also, defensively, I would have to go with, and this one's kind of, I'll take that back. I'm going to go with offense. I'm going to stick with the Florida guard, Osiris Torrence. Their guard play, they really need one more guard. If they're going to move off of Andre James and slide Parnum the center, which is where he really should be, Osiris Torrence is like one of the meanest offensive linemen in this draft as far as his play style. All-American at two schools. He's only consensus All-American on the offensive line of Florida history. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be, but you got to fix that offensive line. The way I see it, they really only have three fifths of an offensive line. And even if I like pick the defensive player, like the Clemson linebacker Trenton Simpson, which I think he'd be a game changer because he's athletic. He can play nickel. He can play, you know, in a base 4-3. He would take some pressure off guys, make Divine Diablo's job easier to where he can just focus on roaming. It would be useless to take a guy like that on defense, but your offensive line, you know, it's a patchwork every week. So I think they really need to be looking at tackle and guard. And, you know, Skarzanski out of Northwestern, Paris Johnson out of Ohio State, and Osiris Torrence, which for me personally would be the favorite pick. Like, if they somehow trade down, because I'm not sold on them taking Stroud if he's there. I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. I think they're going to trade down or shock the world and take Bijan Robinson. But if they're not going to do those two things realistically, you trade down and you build up your offensive line. And I couldn't think of any other three players who would change the dynamic of that offense quicker.
For me, I would look at it where if the top few quarterbacks aren't there, I would see, like you said, if the Raiders would trade down and possibly try to land Tanner McKee out of Stanford late in the first, early in the second. As somebody who covers the Pac-12, what do you see from the Stanford quarterback that you like, and what do you see that you don't like?
I'm honestly not impressed with Stanford quarterbacks. I think Stanford was really bad. And I think he is better than Davis Mills, but I don't think you should draft him in the first round. He has, like, the measurables and the talent, but he's not a transcendent talent. I think he could possibly beat out a guy like Will Levis. And personally, I don't trust anybody who puts mayonnaise in their coffee, so he's kind of already off my draft board. And he's going to be, what, 24, 25? So yeah. Will Levis is kind of old. He puts mayo in his coffee, which is a serious issue. Like, that's a problem. We got to, like, really discuss that as a culture. Like, that's – like, Patrick Mahomes can get away with ketchup on mac and cheese because he's a generational talent. Will Levis is not a generational talent. At Kentucky, I mean, they had better talent. They were recruiting five-star defensive tackles. They were recruiting four-star linemen. Like, Kentucky got better all across the board, and they finally got a better quarterback. But I don't – I'm not sold on him. Tanner McKee, I think, might be a good backup. He could probably get him in the fourth or fifth round. But, like, if the Raiders, I think they just should sit this draft out for QBs if they're not going to take C.J. Stroud because Bryce Young isn't going to fall. And you're not going to take Anthony Richardson and play him day one. So then you're going to draft another QB or go out there with Stidham, which is kind of pointless. So it's you kind of have to trade back. But me personally, just for next year, like Caleb Williams, Heisman winner, outstanding quarterback. But his deep ball accuracy was a problem for me. covering USC all year. You know, even the loss to Tulane. Like, Brandon Rice could have had like a 98-yard touchdown catch. But when you go back and look at some of his deep throws, you know, he's missing guys in stride. He's getting the ball down there, you know, on amazing throws, throwing off one foot, slinging it. But he's not catching guys in stride down deep downfield. And the quarterback who does that the best this year and next year, he chose to go back to school, it's Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr., the Indiana transfer. He led the nation passing. That's my QB1 right now. If we're talking about strictly throwing the ball, he can throw anywhere, everywhere. He's a lefty who has a hose. And believe it or not, he might be almost as fast as Caleb because he caught a screen pass.
Now, when you look at Anthony Richardson, you mentioned him before. Why are people so enamored with him, considering that for all of his physical gifts, he hasn't put it together on the field?
I mean, because it's the SEC. It's still Florida. They still put out elite talent. He's probably more athletic than Cam Newton, and he could probably be better than Cam Newton as far as a passer. And me personally, I thought he should have went back to school because I wasn't really impressed with his completion percentage. But also the receivers really weren't that great. Etienne, the younger brother of Travis Etienne, was a really good back. I think it would have been nice to see him develop one more year at Florida. But I understand why he did it. I mean, why wait to get into a stacked QB class next year? When, okay, once you take away C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, it's a free-for-all. Like, last year, I thought it was one of the worst QB classes in recent history. I watched all those guys at the Senior Bowl. I'm still not really sold on Kenny Pickett. They just put a bunch of people around him. But he couldn't take snaps without wearing gloves at the Senior Bowl last year. And Malik Willis looked like the best QB there. But unfortunately, he didn't get a chance to sit and develop. So that also, like, hurts a guy's trajectory when they're forced into action and everybody knows they're not ready. This guy, he's going to be forced into action, and I don't think he's ready. But I do think he has the most latent ability to shock everybody. I don't think he'll do what Lamar Jackson did, you know, his first day out the gate. But I think he could be a starter. I think in the right system, he could possibly do what Russell Wilson did as a rookie while still testing the limits of his arm strength and, you know, seeing how he does in the pocket. But, yeah, Richardson, you can't really afford to pass up on that athleticism, that size, that ability. But you just got to worry about, you know, the mental aspect of the game. For him, I guess somebody's going to fall in love with that. But if he struggles like I think he does, he'll be a tight end in 2 years.
How can people interact with you on social media and tell folks about the Tennis and Touchdowns podcast with you and our guy Pete Camarillo?
Most definitely, you can catch me on Twitter, Ozo Grande, Ozo Grande. Touchdowns and Tangents. We have been going strong since 2015. We're doing live radio. And then we share it via podcast format, you know, once it's not live. Every Thursday night at 8, sometimes 8:30, usually 8:30 though, p.m. And, you know, we talk about football. Talk about the world of football. We talk about the news that's happening. We also give, you know, analysis on the new on stuff that's going on. Sometimes we even attack narratives that we see are kind of unfair and unjust. Because, I mean, when Pete and I started Touchdowns and Tangents, we're like, we report just as good as anybody else out here. And some of these guys who you think they're great insiders, really, they're just being fed information. Because a lot of times you find out it's a buddy system. It's not like, oh, this dude's an insider. It's like, no, he's just friends with the right people. So they all hoard the same information. And because if they work in a network, you can get away with that. You can always be the one pushing it out. Sometimes you're not even the one breaking the story. Somebody else broke it, but they give you credit because they see you as a legitimate name and there's money behind you. But, you know, coming up through journalism school the way we came up, you know, you don't wait. You don't wait for somebody else to break it. Like, you don't, you know, you go be the change that you don't see in news media. Like, I'm a black dude from East Oakland. He's grew up in L.A. He's a Mexican dude who, you know, from the IE, who grew up in L.A. We got similar interests, taste in music, culture. We both played football in high school. So we have our understanding of how things go. Like, we've tapped into the high school football market. I've interviewed a bunch of head coaches, coach who won a state championship in football, and at my old high school, actually, Rondell High School. We talked about how, you know, Travis Clark, he won a state championship. He's out of all the head coaches in the history of California high school football, he's the only black man to win a Division IIA championship. He's like, as far as like CIF championships, he's the highest ranked black coach to ever win that distinction. And when you look at the high school football situation, California, it's D1 open and then D1A. And if you're not Modern Day or St. John Bosco, you know, you're not going to be in the open division. You're not beating those two teams. So think about all the high schools that had all this black talent, Long Beach, Poly, all these schools that had all this NFL talent, and only one black man has won a high school championship at the level, at the difficulty that he wanted at. He put like 10 guys in school. Tui Tuipulotu is a USC All-American, led the nation in sacks. If he runs like, let's say, anywhere in the sub-4.7, he'd probably be a first-round pick. Came out of Lawndale. They didn't even have the equipment, like bags and stuff, for him to train. When I was in Lawndale, I'm 30. I'll be 31 in like less than a month. When I was at Lawndale, my sophomore year, they took away our weight room. They put all our weights in a handball court, and it looks like a prison yard. It's looked like that till this day. Now, keep in mind, 31. Or 30 going on 31. This was 17 years ago. So they've had the same weight room for 17 years. They had kids lifting with rusted weights, and he won a state championship, and they're just now redoing the field. They gave him the money and like bought a huge scoreboard. And it's like, when you think about, people think about local sports, they're like, oh, what high school did that guy go to who made it to the NFL? But like, we've actually done the reporting on those high schools and, you know, where it starts. And like, yeah, what happens after that five-star recruit or that huge recruit leaves that high school, goes to college, makes it to the league? What happens to the pipeline that he came from? Does it just dry up? Do other, you know, programs just prey on that talent and then leave, which happens in a lot of cases? And then, you know, that area that's economically impacted, those kids who are growing up, you don't ask, hey, I wonder what happened to those kids. I wonder what happened, you know, to that city. And I like, that's something that we kind of touch on. We go past just, you know, the box score when it comes to sports. We actually talk about, okay, how does this affect the ecosystem going forward? Because, you know, it's with all these kids at these bowl games, like Marte Mapé, the Sacramento State linebacker, you know, he got really passionate talking about the city of Hawthorne. He's like, there's so many D1 kids in that city, but they all go to other schools and chase a bowl ring in high school. Or when COVID happened, arguably like three classes of kids got wiped out because the transfer portal happened. JUCOs dried up for a second. And honestly, they're only taking, if you're lucky, they're taking 40% of high school kids, you know, in terms of recruitment. And that 40% is like the top 10%. So how many thousands of kids who maybe would have made it to the NFL from humble beginnings had their whole life trajectory changed based off COVID, based off all the things going on. And, you know, for our podcast, our radio show, that's some of the things that we touch on, you know, in the content that we talk about. Sometimes we're on the edge. I'm really proud of, like, the standard that we've set and the space that we've created, even for other people who came after us to do their own thing. And maybe it's not exactly what we do, but it's needed in kind of, you know, the ecosystem of radio and journalism, because a lot of stuff is paid for. A lot of stuff is, you're hearing it from the same people over and over again. It's not really authentic. So I'm grateful for the fact that we've always been authentic. We're always original. And, you know, we bring a lot of great content. Like last year, from the NFLPA game to the Senior Bowl, I got about 35 interviews. Like, when I look at 35 of those interviews of those people, like 20 of those dudes got drafted. Air Johnson, the D tackle for the Colts. I was like one of the first people to call him out and be like, yo, this guy's going to be really good. And then he dominates at the NFLPA Bowl. He had like a legendary Aaron Donald moment where he spun on a defender and put him on skates, and everybody talked about it all draft off season. But I was one of the first people to interview him. You know, he came out of Missouri State. So, I mean, it's, sorry, I'm kind of like long-winded, but I'm just, when I really think about like touchdowns and tangents and the brand and what we've done, I'm really proud of that. And I'm proud of how we've managed to kind of push things forward and create our own space in the culture of, you know, sports and journalism and all that.
Now, you mentioned you and Pete played football. There's been a longstanding bet between you and Pete. Line up, let's just call it $10 a snap. So you went through with it? Like,
nah, the rematch? Like, we didn't do the rematch. I mean, it's kind of like, so he's like, his thing is he never played defense in high school. I did. And I'm like, well, that's not my fault. I'm more versatile than you. I played, you know, tackle, center, and then on defense, we ran multiple defenses. And, you know, in high school, we went from like a 4-3 shooting gaps to a 4-3 from having a 2-gap it, head up on the guard, to a 3-4, me playing nose, 5 technique. So when I got my stance and I bull rushed him, he got mad. And I'm like, dude, that's my skill set. Would you tell the sprinter not to run fast? It's like, no, you wouldn't. You're going to tell nose tackle not to bull rush you? No, that's the easiest way for me to get you off me. Because he's kind of the system he played in high school, he had like four-star receivers on his team. I was like, it was a track meet. All you did was throw all day. I was like, you didn't really actually, like, you didn't have to play defense. You just played offensive line. I had to play everything. We ran the wing team. So we have that argument till this day. And then the whole argument about IE football versus inner city football. And then when we finally lined it up, inebriated or maybe not inebriated at the Raiders game, he got ragdolled. But then he made an excuse like, oh, I don't play defense. It doesn't count. And he got me on like two of them, mostly because I slipped. But, you know, everybody else agrees who was there that I won 4-2. But somehow he spins the narrative that it's a tie, but that he won. So one day we might lock it up again. Who knows?
Kent Kenny Berry from Tens and Touchdowns covering not just the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, but East West Shrine Game. Thank you so much. Give my Berry our regards. Tell her all of us say hey.
Will do. Thank you.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders Podcast.